Radha Gopinath, you have come to save us with the sound system. Let us sing it. Krishna will help.
Oh,
Krishna Tulsi Divine Grace Srila Ave Charan Aravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsaka Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Srila Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Mayapuram Ki Ganga Maya Munamaya Ki Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Philosophical doubts come up in spiritual life and how we can solve these philosophical doubts. It will be very deep and very interesting, and some of you might in the process blush. This is desired. Then we will have other things. We will discuss difficulties which come up when we are in the world of non-devotees. Difficulties at the workplace, difficulties with relatives. Then we will talk about what to do with our attraction to the opposite sex. We will read from the black book, whatever that is, we will find out. We will also discuss obstacles which come when our mind becomes disturbed and is no longer really with us in spiritual life. And then we will come to a subject which is entitled The Real Goal of Our Life. When a person advances in spiritual life, it is only natural that there are several obstacles which come. The scriptures tell us that there are different stages in spiritual life. The first stage is the stage of a conditioned soul who is just moving around in this world without having any idea about spiritual life. It is the stage of forgetfulness of Krishna. Then the second stage is when such a conditioned soul begins to meet devotees of Krishna. Now, when this meeting takes place, a birth takes place. And this birth is usually understood to be the beginning of spiritual life. What happens when one meets devotees? What is born?
Nobody is done.
seed of bhakti is planted. Yes, but how does this seed of bhakti look like? It is a very good answer. We get Shraddha, the beautiful lady, Shraddha Devi. She's the queen of bhakti, comes in our heart. Oh, I have faith. By following this process, I can. Then we will have more association with devotees. We will come regularly, like Vishal. Then, after, so there's Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha. Then one day we will say, okay, let me also follow spiritual rules and regulations. It's called Bhajana Kriya. Let me do bhajan. And at this moment, when someone becomes active in doing bhajan, something very, very important takes place. A little operation in the heart. That means, all of a sudden we see, oh no, I have so many faults and mistakes. My mind is lusty. Often I want to be praised by others. Oh, you did so well. Desire for fame. And it is sometimes difficult because this is now the purificatory stage where the anattas or the obstacles are removed. Now all of us will have to go through these phases. Shraddha, more association with devotees, then the activity, doing spiritual activities, and finally this operation phase comes, where our anattas become, first of all, even clear to us. Many, have you noticed when you associate with devotees, you might have thought you are alright, but then after some time you find out you are not alright. There are still so many things which bind you to the material world. Vasana, sanskaras, karma bandha, the rope of activities which bind you. And in this way, you begin to find out that there are many obstacles on your spiritual path. Something which you might not have been conscious about before. So, one... anatta which comes are philosophical doubts.
Is this really true? I mean, do the scriptures really say the truth? Isn't it more like the modern scientists say? Or like the rest of society does? I remember when I was a young devotee, I was invited to the marriage ceremony of my cousin, and it was eating time. At that time, we all used to go to a buffet, and I was just there having association with devotees, and there was a buffet, and I was taking only the vegetarian preparations. But then the person who was married, my cousin, came up to me and said, "What is this? You don't fish. There is no fish on your plate and no steaks." Oh, I said, I'm feeling a little upset today. "No, no, 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 no. You can eat nails. Your stomach is so strong. You have such a good digestion. What is wrong with you?" I said, "Meat is not healthy. Meat is not healthy." Then he waved the doctor and said, who came and said, "Meat has all the necessary proteins, all the necessary vitamins. It's the human body absolutely requires." And he began to preach to me. And after some time, I started to think, well, yes, right. Vegetarianism is for the cows, not for the human beings. And I developed serious doubts.
in the association of non-devotees. This will happen to every one of us. We hear something here in the temple, we hear maybe of things like the moon is further away than the sun from the earth planet, and then the modern science tells us something else, and after some time an intelligent person will think, oh, is this really the right place where I have come? Is it really true? Is it really that I'm an eternal soul, or do I just hope to be an eternal soul? Maya comes. It's not that all doubts are dangerous, but some doubts can become very dangerous in our spiritual lives. And I will talk today about the dangerous doubts. They are good doubts. For instance, Baladev Vidyabhushana writes his commentary on Vedanta by using the method of doubt. He puts a statement, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he puts a doubt. He cannot be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because there is Shiva. Then he analyzes the subject matter, and then he comes to a conclusion, to a Siddhanta. This is healthy doubts. I feel any intelligent person should question what he hears, because what he has heard confronts what he previously knew. Vishara, you did not know all the informations which you get in Krishna consciousness before you came to the temple. You had a different information set. So now when you come, you hear new information which naturally will challenge the old information which you have. So there must be a process of asking, is it really like this, or is my old concept right? This is good doubts. This method we should all use. But if we don't confront doubts, and many don't do this, who come into spiritual life, these same doubts will after some time come out again. If we push the doubts into the grave of forgetfulness, try to put a big stone over the doubt of ignoring it, rest assured in the night when you least expect it, like a zombie who is awakened from the grave, the doubt comes out and raises its ugly head. You must confront doubt. It is natural to have doubt. If especially persons like those who have been a little bit with the intelligence active, they will have to go through this process, that their previous knowledge is challenged by the new type of knowledge. And in this process, some doubts in Krishna conscious knowledge are only natural. See, the problem which someone who has in the beginning of Krishna consciousness is that his understanding is theoretical. It is not yet practical. If Vishal says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, someone can say, have you seen Vishal? Have you seen Krishna? And because Vishal may not have seen Krishna, his understanding is still theoretical. It is what he has heard from Shastra and what he has believed by his Shraddha, but it is not yet realized. If you ask me something about Germany, I can tell you everything because I have realized knowledge. But if someone who never was there is asked question after question, he will say, well, I do not know, maybe I have to ask again. So, what does Krishna say? How to deal with doubt? He says, I will say it differently. Let me say like this, there are two ways to deal with doubt. The first way I call the intellectual way, and I will discuss it and tell you what it means. And the second way is the way of Radha. I will discuss what that means. Let us first talk about the intellectual way. When you develop a doubt, you can you have to immediately confront it with your intelligence. But that is only possible if you allow the doubt to come out and manifest itself. Don't allow doubts to linger on for longer times, because they will become stronger. There are four things which become stronger if you do not take care of them. The first thing is fire. If you don't take care of fire, it becomes stronger. The second thing is debt. If you don't take care of debts, it rises and becomes stronger and stronger. The third thing is disease. You do not take care of disease. And the fourth thing is doubts. If you want to deal with doubts on the intellectual platform, you have to take them out of the hidden corners and confront them. You have to not be shy, and you have to allow them. You have to allow them their forum to develop. Like, you may have a doubt: is it really necessary to accept a guru? Don't be afraid of this doubt. Get it out. Find out the different why you are maybe doubting it, or different things which lead you to this doubt. Or is Krishna really the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Deal with it by asking questions to devotees who are a little bit more... sit comfortably. Good evening. Devotees who may give you the answer, and so on. Very often, you have to also know, and this is my second point on dealing with doubts in the intellectual ways. The first is to take them out of their hiding place, and the second is you have to sometimes know that behind your doubt there may be something totally different than the doubt actually says. You have to analyze, in other words, what is the feeling behind the doubt. For instance, someone may say, it is not possible, I have doubts that I can become Krishna conscious. But after some time, you may say everyone can become Krishna consciousness because everyone is an eternal soul, and you may give different reasons, but the doubt doesn't stop. And then you find out after some time why the person is hopelessly attached to sex life 20 times a week, and he hears that in Krishna consciousness it is not allowed. So he's very afraid that if this is taken away from me, I will not be able to enjoy any longer or be half a person. So you must deal with this feeling. It is fear. Or when the first Indologists came to India, they put many doubts. They said, well, are the Vedas really older than the compilation of the Bible? And they said, no. The Vedas are only 200 years old. And when you study Indology, at least in Western Indological things, you will find many, many, many doubts are put in there. Oh, the Vedas, that's another doubt, are not written by self-realized souls, but by Brahmanas who wanted to control the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras. That's one theory. They put many, many doubts. Now, when you go to Mr. Indologist and ask him, why did you say all this or think this, then he will... then he has a feeling behind it, which is the real source of his doubts. The feeling is Christianity is better than Hinduism. And therefore he feels a big need to pull down everything which has to do with the Vedas. Very often, especially in spreading Krishna consciousness, we have seen that behind a doubt is a feeling. Maybe fear, or maybe the feeling to establish superiority, that was a second possibility. Or the feeling that it's just nice to enjoy material life, don't take this away from us. If you don't deal with the feeling, but only try to answer the doubt, you may waste your time, because you may not really address it. When you deal with your own doubts, please don't forget to deal also with the feelings. Now I will write down what to do to finish these or to take care of these doubts. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, armed with yoga, stand up and fight. And I will ask Vishal to come on the here to the blackboard and write down what I will tell you. What to do to deal with doubt? The first point is study Srila Prabhupada's books daily. By reading Srila Prabhupada's books on a daily or regular basis, you will build in you a new information system. This is very important. Very often we have doubts because we do not, just Vishal, what I tell you to, what I'm saying now, you don't have to write down, yes? No, you have to stay here because we need you more. So you need to do this in a daily, on a daily platform. Otherwise, you will not be able to deal especially with your own intellectual doubts or the doubts of others. You need to build a whole new worldview, just like a child who is regularly educated. We have our little Damodar here. Damodar, please stand up that people can see you. This is my friend Damodar. He is from the Bhaktivedanta school. And he's still a little shy, but soon it will go. Thank you, Damodar. Now you can sit down. Damodar is learning every day in the school so that he really can work as a full functioning member of human society. In the same way, you have to study every day Srila Prabhupada's book. It is your spiritual education. It is important. Do not spend a day where you don't read spiritual philosophy, because the time will come when your faith will, your knowledge will be challenged. You must be convinced. No doubts. The next point, discuss with devotees. I will now tell you some spiritual psychology. I am knowing that we have at least one student of psychology here, and she will be very interested to hear this. That when you spend time together with devotees, there is something taking place which is more important even than the information which is given by the devotees. There is something which is non-verbal communication. I will make to you now a non-verbal communication. You have to tell me what I'm trying to tell you. What did I try to tell you?
A stomach ache.
Yes. I have not said one word.
broken. Yes. These are non-verbal communications of a very innocent way which everyone can understand. But there are others which we often don't understand. For instance, a young boy sits together in a room where there is a young girl, and all of a sudden he feels like butter which melts. What happens is that the sexual energies, which are very prominent in young age, are exchanged. And on the lower chakra or energy level happens very often. Now I want to give you another example of non-verbal communication. When you are together with certain people, sometimes you feel great sympathy for this person and you can't explain it. Have you ever seen this? You see someone and you... But not in any physical way there is an attraction, but you just find the person sympathetic and you wish I could spend more time with this person, get to know this person, and you become somehow inspired by this person. Now when you're together with a devotee, something happens. What we could call spiritual resonance. Do you know the instrument called sitar? Sitar, I'm sorry for saying it wrong. Sitar. When you play certain notes, then they are called sympathetic strings, which are not melody strings, begin to vibrate. For instance, when you hit an A, then the A will vibrate. Looking at Shashika, I'm saying everything correctly. They are called sympathetic strings which resound. You have a ping and it goes ping. And it makes a nice melody. Do you all know what I mean? You look with a question mark in your face. When you have a certain melody string, every other string which is tuned to the same tone of that string will begin to resound when you resound this. So when I am coming in contact with a devotee, something in me begins to also resound. In me, I have three strings. Start. What could the second be? This. What could the third be? Thank you. Now, because the devotee has developed these three spiritual qualities more, Satchit Ananda, he's more self-realized than I am. He's more full of knowledge than I am. These sides in me, these spiritual strings in my personality, begin to vibrate. Have you ever felt this when you're together with devotees? How you feel? Isn't it? I only need to see Radhanath Maharaj coming through the door. Then I'm, oh yes, everything is clear. Thank you. Nothing has been transpired. No word has been said. It is a non-verbal communication. Haven't we all felt this when we met convinced devotees? Then all of a sudden we feel also very spiritual. We have non-verbal communication. It's a law of spiritual psychology. Never forget. That's why you have to be together with devotees if you want to be spiritually situated. When you are together with non-devotees or materialists, the same effect is there. When you are with a lusty materialist, you also become lusty. If you are with someone who just thinks from morning till evening, money is the honey, money is the honey, Bombay is good for money, Bombay is good for money. If this is what goes on in his heart, you also think, where are the rupees, where are the paisas? And become infected, yes? Why do you think is everyone running around like an
Bombay, because they are all infected by these materialistic vibrations. It's resounding through the town. You can see the materialistic vibrations. Therefore you need to be together with devotees, otherwise you will vibrate materialistically. Is it clear? Very clear. Good. Please erase this. So, and you need to discuss with them. Now, the next thing, for modern doubts, if you have doubts, for instance, which come from the field of science, or which come from the field of psychology, I was studying psychology in my private time. I read so many books in psychology. I wasted my human form of life for my now, this my perspective. But at that time I thought, this is really the key to the soul of the human being. And when I joined Krishna consciousness, I had so many doubts. I thought sadhus are hidden neurotics. I had so many doubts from this field. And I needed to confront these doubts on this level. It's very important. If you are a scientifically minded person, like some of you are students, you need to find out about, for instance, in the books of our Sadhaputa, or you can contact the Bhaktivedanta Institute and find out very convincing arguments on that level with doubts. Deal with the doubts on their level, on their own level. So I have a beautiful second part, which I will do in a minute, but I want to give a little room for your questions on this subject. Let me summarize what I have said so far. I have said that on the path of Krishna consciousness, there is a stage which is called anatta nivritti, that is getting rid of your anattas. We all have to go through this stage, and one of the anattas are doubts, philosophical doubts. Now, I said there are two ways to deal with them, and I have explained up till now one way, that is the intellectual way. What does this mean? It means to confront the doubt, take it from the hiddenness, the hiding place of the doubt, and then also, second thing, analyze if there are any feelings behind it. For instance, today one devotee said to me, my mother was singing in my childhood Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha to me. But then later I joined the Bhakta program here, and when I came back and sang the song Hari Haraye Nama, because this was our song, my mother was not satisfied. And I said, mother, she taught me the song. Why are you no longer satisfied? Why do you doubt that this is good for me? And later she found out, a mother was in great pain. A mother thought, just like Nimai, Lord Chaitanya has left me, has left Mother Sachi, you will also leave me. Therefore, it's not that she doubted the song Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Nama. But whenever the song was, she went like, nay, 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 don't sing this. The doubt was hidden. There was fear. My son will leave me. I can imagine that in India I could have to speak more about this, the feeling behind the doubt, addressing the feeling. But for those of you who think about it yourself, you will find out more about this, how important it is. And then I gave three solutions which Vishal has written down for us. Study Srila Prabhupada's books daily, discuss with devotees, and remember my little drawing, why it's important. There's also non-verbal verbal communication with devotees, but also non-verbal, and then modern doubts need to be dealt with on that level. This is what we have discussed for now. Now I will go, now I will see if you have any questions, and then we will go to another way of dealing with doubt, not the intellectual way. This will be very interesting. Any questions so far? On the subject, please.
We are discussing devotees.
Yeah.
Many times I have a question. So, if I teach devotees, it's more confusing.
Yeah.
But you are talking about maybe, as per their realization, maybe a different answer. So, what should I do?
Deal with it. When I have questions, devotees, I may go to four different devotees and I may get four different answers according to their realizations. What to do? For instance, I will give you a typical question about Prabhu. How exactly should I take prasadam? How much should I take? So one, the very new devotee, take as much as possible. Then you lose all your attachments to outside food. The new devotee will say like this. The older devotee will say, don't take so much, because if you take so much, it will agitate your senses, and you will have difficulties in your spiritual life. So both answers are correct for different levels of people. So I have often found out that if you get into a confusion, what you should do is you need to ultimately go to advanced devotees they can sort it out for you. Very important. Sometimes the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is very subtle. I've just read the Uddhava Gita, and there you will find that Krishna says one thing, and then Uddhava is confused. And he said, no, Uddhava, I was not saying this to you. This is for the general mass of people. But because you are already my devotee, there's no need for you to keep all these different rules and regulations. So we need ultimately, when we get confused, we need ultimately to go to our spiritual master, who will tell us what is good for us on our level. See, the Vedic scriptures are like an apotheca, pharmacy. There are so many medicines, but exactly what medicine is good for you, and what are the doses which you have to take it. So that we have our spiritual master.
Although well intentioned, will not make it. Instead, they
they will not make it to the kingdom of God. They will return to the path of birth and death. And Prabhupada explains, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purpose of this verse. Faith is created. Now, how is faith created? Sadhu Sangha, by the association of devotees. What does it mean? Sri Vikram Prabhu, you have said the right thing. If you look for faith, faith is created by association with devotees. So, Prabhupada says, the development of faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, do this, do that, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. In other words, he talks of those who are in the association of devotees but who leave after some time. They don't have strong faith. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. Even Prabhupada writes from his own experience, we have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity, that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. No faith, not enough faith. So my dear devotees, I want to now discuss to you the second way of dealing with doubts is the way of Shraddha. I have said that the first way is the intellectual way, where you give intellectual answers to your doubts. But Prabhupada writes, in the process of hearing about Krishna, listen, because you were inattentive for a moment, feel this very much if someone is next to oneself and is inattentive by non-verbal communication, one becomes aware of this. In the process of hearing about Krishna, one should be satisfied to know that everything cannot be decided by intellectual debate. Have you ever seen this? You sit with someone and you discuss for many hours and still he has doubts. And you have so good answers, you give the same answers as Prabhupada gives in the Bhagavad Gita, of which you have heard in the lecture, and it doesn't work. You can crawl up the wall. Why don't you just say, yes, Tika, Acha, why are you making troubles for yourself and for myself? Isn't it? Prabhupada says, one should be satisfied to know that by intellectual debate, not everything can be decided. So let me now sing with you the glories of Shraddha Devi. How does she appear? Shraddha Devi is like a personality who has no form really, no visible form. And to attract her, you need to do special things in your life. There are acts which build up faith, or which attract faith. I want to give you an example. Love, or the god of love, Cupid, is called Ananga. He has no physical perceptible form. But if you want him to appear in your life, you need to do certain things. You need to go to, if you are a woman, to books, if you're a woman, you look at the boys when they walk on the it's a little embarrassing. Let us not go so much in the detail. And by doing certain things, all of a sudden, you feel like Cupid has finally managed to manifest in your heart. I'm sorry to give such an example, but some of you become restless. Ooh, what does this Maharaj? You never know what he will say the next moment. It's so different, his style of lecturing. I'm trying to give examples from your experience. Something which is has no body, which is ananga, by certain activities can become very much physically present or feelable. Then one hears romantic songs, sees this TV, sees the movie Soldier. I have not personally seen, and I have no intention. I have seen this pool with another Polish person standing on the tracks, but the next moment the train will run over them. You can jump away from one train, but when the train of death comes, there is no running away. So you must do, in order to get faith, you must do acts of faith. Srila Prabhupada writes about a typical act of faith in the fourth chapter, text 39, if you want to read it. Prabhupada writes, is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. If you do this, an act of faith, after some time, you feel how Radha Devi comes in your heart. Oh, everything is clear. Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the movement, sometimes got letters with 32 and a half questions. And he would write sometimes to his godfathers, these Westerners, they put so many questions. I have to spend gallons of blood to make one person a devotee of Krishna. So one time, after having answered another letter, can you imagine to get a letter with 32 questions? It is so much to answer. It's inhuman to write such letters and so on. So Prabhupada had given the answers to these letters and to these questions in one of the letters, but then he asked, my dear so-and-so, may I ask you a question? Are you regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without any offenses? You might say, what does this have to do with my questions? It has very much to do with your questions. If you do not perform acts of faith, faith will not come. Therefore you can theoretically explain everything and more to the person. But if that person doesn't start to get to do an act of faith, faith will not come in his heart. Now you might ask the question, why not? And here comes the explanation. Listen very carefully. This explanation might challenge your previous knowledge about how to attain knowledge. The very difficult word is epistemology. Epistemology means the process to obtain knowledge. A person who is in the mode of tamas, who does not know what is tamas, it's an ignorant influence which makes you sleep, which makes you depressive, and it comes if you act in ignorant ways, like drinking alcohol, like eating non-veg, and so on. You come under the influence of this powerful mode of nature. In Sanskrit, the word is guna, which binds you
around the neck. Whoa.
Tamagun. So, if a person continues to act in ignorant ways and if, under the mode of tamas and rajas, he will not be able to understand spiritual knowledge. He will not be able to get faith. Only someone who is in the mode of sattvagun, in goodness, who eats veg, who gets up early, who has a strong spiritual sadhana, he can understand spiritual knowledge. Let me give you an answer, because some of you look highly skeptical towards me. Well, how can you say this, Maharaj? Known that smoking is unhealthy. Do you agree? It's tar, there's so much tar which is not good for the fine lung corpuscles. But people, although they have heard it, can't give up smoking. They're driven. Rajagun and Tamagun to smoke. Not long ago, the main advertising person called McLaren. McLaren is the main cowboy of Marlboro. Have you heard? Marlboro is a cigarette company, and McLaren is a heavy sutra who looks very convincingly at the other sutras and says, smoke and you will become like me, a good horseman who can ride and control horses. Go to the next place better. Now this McLaren has just died from lung cancer. And when he was on his deathbed, he filed a lawsuit against Marlboro and said, I am dying because you forced me to smoke more than necessary. And Marlboro lost the lawsuit. They had to pay $30 million. That's more than we will ever spend in one lifetime. Normal person. It was known. It went all over. But do you think people stopped smoking? No, because they are acting in such ignorant activities, passionate activities, that they will never understand spiritual knowledge. Is it clear? So you must do something which lifts you on another platform. Then you can understand. So, please wipe this away and then write a heading. Acts of Faith. And the first is chanting. Because this chanting lifts us out of the lower modes. It's like an elevator. Most of you might have come with our very well functioning Jumu Beach Hare Krishna Land elevator up here. Huh? The chanting lifts is like an elevator. It lifts you from the lower states of consciousness up. Have you ever experienced this? When you sit down and you really chant after some time, you feel just totally different in your consciousness. Why? Because you have gone into the elevator of consciousness. Vibration, sound vibration. That's it. Now another thing is prayer. That's another act of faith. Many persons have reported that if they went to Radha Rasbihari and prayed before them, their life had totally changed. Who had this experience?
Thank you very much. Damodar?
No.
Yes, thank you. Damodarji, try it. Pray to Radha Rasa Bihari and you will see your life will change totally. I'm trying to build a relationship with Damodar, so therefore. So this is very, very mystical. You can only explain it in a spiritual way. We often think when we have darshan, darshan means I am seeing the deity. But this is a very immature understanding of darshan. The real meaning of darshan is the deity will see me. He will look with his eyes into my heart and he will ask, this devotee who comes to me, does he think I'm just a stone statue or does he think I'm the Lord? And when the devotee thinks this is the Lord, he will talk to the deity from the heart. Oh, may you be praised. May you be glorified. And he prays to the deities. And he asks with great submission for some help. Do you know that the Queen of Nepal became a life member simply by doing this? She went with her son to London and her son to give him hospital treatment, but unfortunately the treatment, something did not work, so she went to the deities and prayed before the deities, help my son. The deities did it and she became a life member. Many lives have changed. Why don't you pray? What is wrong with you? I'm saying it a little like this so that I may maybe move you. Please, I live my Amarat, my Vaishnav Amarat. Next is again associating with devotees, but I will clarify it. I will put, yes, right, is it? In associating with devotees, there are two levels. One is just to stay with them, sit, eat with them, and talk maybe about the weather or the newest information from Manas time. What is the newspaper called? And the second type of association, please write it down. Second type is to follow their footsteps. When you see devotees, they are putting extra effort. Do like they do. When you see them, for instance, you can ask them, what do you do in the morning? And the devotee says, I'm having a very good process. I get up early. Then before the Mangala Arati, I change around. This is not simple. When you meet devotees, know that each one of them has a secret how they do perform their bhajans. Follow this. Try to find out this. A fourth very strong principle of building faith is go to the Dham. Who knows what is the Dham? Places where the Lord has performed his personal pastime. In the Dham, there are two energies which you can come in contact with. Just like if we would touch the, what is it called? The electrical faucet, is this called?
Plug point.
We get the electrical energy. So when we go to the Dham, we get two types of currents in our system. One is called Taraka. Taraka
means that which liberates us from material existence. Nishingananda, this is Nishingananda, please. He comes from Germany. Nishingananda has just come from the Holy Dharma, and he might have felt so free from the conditionings, from Maya, isn't it? It's called Taraka. And the next energy, please write down, is called Taraka. Taraka means attraction to Krishna. Priya Krishna Prabhu, very nice devotee who was meant to give lectures in Switzerland, was also coming to Vrindavan, and he just wrote me a letter and said, "Sorry Maharaj, I cannot go back to Switzerland, I feel so attracted. I cannot bring it over my heart." These two things, these two energies come to everyone. Even I remember I was once going with professors to Vrindavan who were very atheistic, of the religious department of the Frankfurt University. You will laugh at India. How can someone teach religion and be an atheist? No problem in Germany. They say this religion says this, that religion says that. You ask me. Germany is an impossible place. So he was there, but then one morning he woke up chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because of Paraka. He had his head up in the electric in the platform. This is how powerful it is to go to the Dharma. A feeling of great attraction to Krishna is installed. But there is an ultimate solution to overcome all your doubts on the way of faith. It is called revelation. The Supreme Person, I'm reading you from the Bhagavad Gita 7.1. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "Now hear, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga in full deep consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt." The Lord says, practice yoga, and then you can know me free from doubts by practical experience. This part of revelation is explained. It is the secret of Krishna consciousness, and I will not say it here, because I do not want to say it to people who are not really interested to follow it. But if you want to find it out, you must read the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 1 proper. It will take you exactly 5.5 minutes, and then you know the path of revelation. Vishal will write down 7.1 and proper. For those of you who do not have a Bhagavad Gita, it is a scandal, because then you cannot find out the ultimate solution. And I have a good solution for this situation. We have a book table. It's now the month of December, a few days after Krishna spoke Gita Jayanti. You please go to the book table and get yourself a Bhagavad Gita. There, even if you are very poor, there are subsidized Bhagavad Gitas which you can get for lower price. You say, "I'm a student. Only emptiness is in my pockets. No rupees." And the devotees will find a solution together with you that you also can read the Gita. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes the path of revelation. It's on page 365. But I will not say it, because I want you to become inquisitive yourself in your life. Find out for yourself. Hare Krishna. So, I think
This path of revelation is a path of practice of Bhakti Yoga. Krishna will reveal himself to you. I want to thank you very much. I will now take some more questions, but not so long. And we will continue tomorrow at the same time. A little bit, we will be more punctual, because today we had a guest from Germany who's just going this night to Germany, and we had to give him some information, so on. And we were a little late, therefore, but tomorrow we will be more punctual. We will start, 7:30, but we will start the lecture latest by 8:15. It's 15 minutes earlier than today. We will deal there. Well, you can think about what you would like to hear. You can think and tell me tomorrow. I will see. I will have a cast of vote tomorrow. Do you want to hear how to overcome obstacles created by non-devotees? Or do you want to hear how to overcome subtle attachments to the opposite sex? Do you want to hear how to overcome obstacles created from the restless mind who goes into different moods? This you will have to decide tomorrow, because I will be your servant. I will prepare all these subjects and then do whatever you would like to hear. Very good. Oh, yeah. All of them are very good. Sorry, I don't want to sound proud, but they are very useful. Let me say useful, not good. Useful. So, do you have any question? Is it all right when we are so busy with different services to hear tapes instead of reading Srila Prabhupada's books? The answer to this question is tricky. I do know also from personal experience that sometimes we have just so much to do that it seems not possible to read. Who has this experience also? Yes. And I think the rest of you who are a little afraid to raise their hands also have it. I want to ask you a question, Parijata. What is the goal of reading? To sustain my spiritual life and help others. Yes, you have said it correctly. But before that is another thing. It is to remember. The most important two principles of Bhakti Yoga are, who knows? Someone said it, always remember Krishna, never forget it. This is a, you know. So when you can't, when you don't have any time to read, then you can remember Krishna. Be active. Because all rules and regulations are just meant to help us. But as soon as you become, let me say, in the mood of, as soon as you understand you must remember Krishna in your life, you will somehow find the time to read. I have personal experience of this.
You will think of at least a little, just 1 second. I will just read one song. Don't we sometimes know this? It's bedtime and we have not read. We somehow feel something is missing. What is missing is that we have not thought of Krishna the whole day. Then go to your bookshelf, and just read one verse, and then you remember. Parijata, the moment you become aware that your spiritual life is only worthwhile if you remember Krishna, not forget him, that moment you will magically find the time to read. It's even only for 2 or 3 minutes.
Interesting answer, isn't it? That's life which is passed without remembrance of Krishna is a dead life. That day which is passed without remembrance of Krishna is a dead day. That hour which is passed without the remembrance of Krishna is a dead hour. That minute which is passed without remembrance of Krishna is a dead minute. That second which is passed without remembrance of Krishna is a dead second. Oh, what to say of a life which is not passed in remembrance of Krishna? It is dead. It is dead. It is dead. It is so dead.
This is my own poem.
Because I'm not a good poet, I'm writing such simple poems.
Marat, when you say reading, what does it exactly mean? Maybe not to the end of the day and you're still reading, but...
When we say reading, what does it exactly mean? Trivik Granth Prabhu, you must put 3 questions when you read to the text. The first question is, what does it say? The second question is, what does it mean? And the third question is, what does this have to do with my life? This is when the reading becomes alive. If you go like a computer, I think there is a computer program which is called scanning. You go with something over the text, and when the text appears somehow in the computer, it is kept there. It is called scanning. So sometimes we read like a computer without our consciousness on alert. What did it say? I do not know. But in order to avoid this, usually the scanning in a human mind, it doesn't even stay in the human mind. Except you are one of the rare species which have a photographic memory. I knew certain people, you know. No, that is too much. I heard. They can just look at a page, twang, and then repeat it to you. Without understanding the photographic memory. Maybe the karma of a photographic man who makes so many photographs, the next life he doesn't need a photo camera any longer. But he's only, his consciousness is only in the photographic. Maybe I'm speculating. So, what does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply to my life? This helps very much. This tip is given by the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. Prabhupada often, one time he stopped, he gave a lecture after the Guru Puja. See, this morning you have read, you have sung the Guru Puja. What does it mean? But then, what is the meaning of the... he wanted to have a translation in the English language of the different words. But
Krishna as if one devotee knew. He's in New York in this case.
You see it, you do not know what it means. It's even in the new Avicharandeva. Who is seeing this Avicharandeva? Avi is just getting married to his wife, and the wife sings such beautiful song. And then he asks, what does this song mean?
Oh no, I don't know, it's just a song.
You sing the song, you do not know what it means. But when you read and you do not know what it means, you do not know what you have read, Sri Vigram. It is helpful.
One is chanting verbally and chanting the mind and still fit.
Does verbal chanting and chanting in the mind have the same effect? The answer to this question is, when you are on the neophyte stage, it doesn't. The chant, the sound vibration is very important. But Haridas Thakur chanted, you must have known, he chanted 196 rounds. 3 times 64. Is that correct? How much is that?
3 legs.
Yeah, 3 legs. How many rounds is it? 3 times 64. Who is the mathematician? 972. Yes. 3 times 64. Let us concentrate. 192. Everyone agrees?
Yes.
Good. 192 rounds. Now 64 is 192 rounds he chanted loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. 64 he chanted very soft. And 64, the last 64 he chanted in his mind. Do you know 192 rounds? Who has ever chanted so much? You can really only chant that day. It's so much. 64 is nothing. 160, 128. That gets already serious. Then 192. You have to decrease your sleep. Eating. Don't eat. Do the best. Because otherwise you get tired. Every day. Lord, we are only beginners here in the kindergarten of spiritual life. We have difficulties with 16 rounds. If we get 16 rounds, it's good. Because this is what Srila Prabhupada gave, and it is the blessing of the parampara. So, for a neophyte devotee, a neophyte chanter who may chant not so long, it's very difficult, it's not advised to chant in the mind, because he will not have the holy name, is not there. When you chant with the mouth, it's much easier to absorb the mind. Much, much easier. Much easier. Oh. It's really a meditation on the sound vibration. It's not like the silent mantras which are just repeated in the mind. This is the last question, yes.
Can you elaborate on the energies of the
Dham?
You said two energies.
Yes, can you please elaborate on the two energies of the Dham? Yes, for all of you, I have noticed it has begun late. This is the last question, and after that we will dissolve the meeting. Meet again tomorrow. I somehow also feel that we 9:30, it's unusually late, right? 9:35 here. We should just answer the question and then not have kirtan today because it begins so late. Even tomorrow, we will do everything. Tomorrow is Saturday and then we can sleep on the Sunday at infinito if necessary. The two energies of the Holy Dharma, Taraka and Paraka, they work. Now, I gave you one example, like if you come in contact with the electrical points, but I want to tell you how it really is. It is the atmosphere. You enter this atmosphere, and this atmosphere has an effect on you. Just like when you enter the temple, have you noticed how nice the atmosphere is? You come out of the midst of the Bombay jungle and traffic jungle, and then you enter, and the atmosphere does something to you. You become more peaceful, and all of a sudden you become deep in Krishna conscious question. So this is what happens. You become very attracted to Krishna. You think of Krishna, you start to love Krishna, or feel affection towards Krishna, you pray to Krishna. You feel maybe also a sadness in your heart because you notice, I'm not so close to Krishna after all these years, but now I will become closer. Especially in Vrindavan Dham you feel. And then Taraka was attraction to Krishna. Taraka, it liberates you from material existence. You actually lose your material desires. You get the strength to change your life. It is so wonderful. Please go to Mayapur and Vrindavan. If you want to go in good devotee association, the Chaupati Beach Temple, or rather Gopinath Temple, makes regular yatras. But my first contact with the Bombay devotees was in Bhakti on the way to Kedarnath. I met Braj Bihari and Sudas. They both made a pilgrimage to Kedarnath, and we met on the same road. This small path, few thousand meters above sea level, fighting with the rain and so on and so forth. Like, go in this atmosphere and something will happen to you. One very well-known film star in Germany went on my recommendation. He had filming to do in Agra before the Taj Mahal, where else, I had requested him, you go to Vrindavan and check the atmosphere. And he came in the midst, he was still in the ambassador car, and he had entered Vrindavan, and all of a sudden, he smelled some divine smell. He said, stop, ambassador, stop. He looked, but there were only ordinary fields just after plowing. And he became so interested in the smell that he left the tank ambassador and ran into the field to find out where this divine smell came. This often Krishna begins to attract us in very unusual ways. Things happen to us in the Holy Dharma. He makes an arrangement. Prabhupada writes, someone who was in Vrindavan, he will immediately feel the attraction to Krishna. Because he comes in contact with the powerful atmosphere of the Dharma. One devotee told me personally that this time in Vrindavan she felt so attracted, and she felt like wandering through the lanes of Vrindavan, visiting different temples and so on, feeling so much desire to meet Krishna, to become closer to Krishna. You will also feel. Please go. So I'm very sorry that
took so long, but this was a subject we needed to put some considerations and thoughts into it. I'm very inspired by your wonderful association. You are a very nice audience. Please do come tomorrow. The lecture series is the same title, How to Overcome Obstacles in One's Spiritual Life. And tell your friends and so on, and so that we have a good crowd that we can all meet together, and then we will have a little chatter. For now, I will send you all to go to bed. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Goni Tai ki, Gope Manandi Akepo.